All right, chapter 18. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What meaneth ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And what they're saying by this is, our fathers sinned, so the children are paying the penalty for the father's sin. Now, this was entirely contrary to the law of God. The law said that he wouldn't do this. We'll look at that later on in the chapter. But we know that because of the sins of our father, Adam, we are sinners. And we sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. We were born in sin. In iniquity were we born. We were in mother's sin. In sin, our mother brought us into this world. 51st chapter of 51st Psalm. So we're sinners, but we're not, as individuals, we don't have to pay the penalty of the sins of our father. Remember one time Jesus and his disciples met a blind man. And the disciples asked him a question, Who has sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents? And Jesus says, Neither. Neither one sinned. He wasn't born blind because of the sins of his parents. He was born blind for the glory of God. And so we don't bear the sins of our fathers, only our own. So this proverb is a saying, you see here, that wasn't true. He says, As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the souls of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth must die. All souls are mine. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? All souls are mine, whether it's of the Father or of the Son. Of the Father. Now, the word soul has a thought of the individuality all the way through the Bible. You read of a battle and so many souls died. Speaks of individuality. So the soul that sinneth is going to be accountable for his own sin. And we read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. In Romans 3:23, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die for his own sin, not for somebody else's. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten, and there's several things now down through the next 9 verses concerning this righteous man, he not eaten upon the mountains, or done worshiped idols, is a thought, eaten those sacrifices to idols, neither has lifted up his eyes to idols in the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife. Now all of these is part of the Ten Commandments. Hath not opposed any, hath not restored to the debt of his pledge, spoiled none by violence, hath given bread to the hungry, hath allowed to cover the naked with garments. Now, all of these things we see in down through here, mankind as a whole doesn't do. It left to themselves, men will do just about all of these things or not do these things. But what we see here is the life of Christ that does these things. And the only way we can do these things is through by being born again, through the life of Christ. We have a covetous nature. We have a nature that is contrary. We have a selfish nature that we inherited from Adam. And we're not about to give to the hungry unless we're going to get something for it. Now, when the politics give to the hungry, they've got somebody's hand in somebody's pocket. They're getting some kickback because it's contrary to nature to do these things. We are essentially selfish people in Adam. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're justified, and God sees us in his Son. Verse 9, the one that walks in my statutes and hath kept my judgment to deal truly, he is just, and shall surely live, saith the Lord God. Now, Paul tells us that our justification is in Christ, and so we're counted just because we have a new nature. But if the person that is just has a son, verse 10, and his son isn't like him at all. His son is a robber and sheds blood. He's a murderer and has done the like to any of these things. And so he's contrary to all of these things. And in verse 13, we have the outcome of his life. He shall not live. He hath done all of these abominations. He shall surely die. This his blood shall be upon him. Now, his father was all right, but the son wasn't. The son's going to be accountable for his own sin. So everyone is going to have to receive Christ as an individual to be just. And if they don't, then they're going to die. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth and doeth not such like. So now we have a righteous man. He has a son. He's a no good scoundrel. And then he has a son that doesn't follow in his father's footsteps. And he doesn't eat on the mountain. He's like his grandfather, you see. And he yields to the Lord. Then in verse 17, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for the father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, he shall die for his iniquity. Not for anybody else's, but for his own iniquity. Verse 19, yet ye say, why? Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? And we say, no, this can't be, because the law says he can't do it. We might turn over to the 20th chapter of Exodus. Is it 20 or 20? I think it's the 20th chapter. I know it's Deuteronomy. There's a verse in Deuteronomy. I can't remember where these are, but anyway, they're the law. It's in Deuteronomy, I think, now. But the law definitely states that, wish I could remember. Slipped my mind entirely. 24th chapter of Deuteronomy. I think that's right. Let's look and see if I did right. Yes, verse 16. That's what I'm looking for. I knew it was part of the law, but I couldn't remember. I have a short memory anymore. But verse 16, that's what I'm looking for. The father shall not be put to death for his children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall bear his own sin. Now they should have known that, shouldn't they? And yet they were blaming God for their troubles. And it wasn't altogether Manasseh's fault that they were in there, because they wasn't following in the way either. So back to verse 19, he says, does not the son bear the iniquity of the father? And then we have the answer to this question in the latter part of this verse. When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth shall die. Now this is the second time we've had this statement in there, isn't it? The soul that sinneth shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So each one is an individual that will stand before God, either in his righteousness or in his wickedness. But we know that everybody is wicked in Adam, and everybody is righteous in Christ. So the way to be righteous is by receiving Christ as our personal Savior. But the Lord has made a way out, hasn't he? Isn't that good? Verse 21, but if the wicked will turn from his sin that he has committed, and keep my statutes, and do that which the law, which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and shall not die. Now, as I mentioned before, we can't do that in ourselves. We don't have the strength to do that in ourselves. God demands absolute holiness and absolute perfection to the nth degree. And we can't do that only in Christ. We're accepted in the Beloved. And so those who know Christ shall surely live and shall not die. Those who don't know Christ will surely die. All his transgression that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. See? So all the sins that those who receive Christ shall not be mentioned. Unto him in his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? And the answer to that is no. God doesn't get pleasure in the death of people. 1 Timothy 2, I believe it's verse 4, who will that all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants in it. He will that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And then Peter makes a statement in 2 Peter 3, I think it's verse 9. He said that God would that none should perish there. 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. See, God don't enjoy destroying the wicked, but he has to do it in order to remain just himself, in order to remain righteous. The wicked has to be destroyed. It has to be put to death. And so he asked a question here. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Now he asked a similar in verse 32. Listen to this. He said, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. So this answers its own question, doesn't it? God doesn't have any pleasure. I think some people think that he really gets happy when he clobbers somebody and takes them away, but God doesn't. The only one that God has any pleasure in is the death of his saints. Psalm, I can't remember where the psalm is right now off the top of my head, but he says that God says he does have pleasure in the death of his saints, because they're going to be with him. Saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. And when the righteous turn away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doth according to all the abomination of the wicked man doth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned, and his trespasses that he hath trespassed, and in his sins that he sinned, in them shall he die. Now this is the self-righteous man. Now notice how many times this personal pronoun is used in this verse. His righteousness is used twice. His trespass is used, his sin that he has sinned. See, this is his righteousness, not the righteousness of God, but his righteousness. And so it has no bearing at all. It has no help. And so if he turns from his doing the best he can, then he is going to die in his sin. Yet he saith, the way of the Lord is not equal. Now this is another argument they said. Well, the way of the Lord isn't equal. Now the word equal here has a thought of an equal measure and impartialness. What you do for one, you'll do for somebody else. It doesn't really have a thought of a balance in weighing something, but it has a thought of impartial measurement. What he gives one, he would give another. And so they accuse the Lord of not being honest in his measure with people. Then he says, are not my ways honest? Don't I give equal to everyone? Are not your ways unequal? You're the dishonest one. You're the one who shows partiality, not me. That's what God is saying. Therefore I will judge you. Oh, pardon me. I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his way, saith the Lord God. Now, everyone according to his own works is what God judges. And then the Lord says, repent and turn yourself from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. So the answer then is to repent and turn. Actually, the word repent means to that. It means to turn around and do just the opposite from what you were doing. Cast away from you all your transgression wherein you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. Now this tells us of something, doesn't it? They can't make a new heart or a new spirit. Only God can make one. And the only righteousness is those who have a new heart and a new spirit. And so you repent, people repent and turn to the Lord, receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they get a new heart and a new spirit. Now God has promised this to Jerusalem, God promised it to Israel when they received Christ as their Savior. He said, I'll take away their stony heart, and I'll write my laws upon the fleshly tables of their heart. And so Israel as a nation is going to have a new heart and a new spirit. But then also anyone who receives Christ as their personal Savior gets a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourself and live. A person could preach an evangelistic sermon on this.